This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they live. This is David Duke, live worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be with you in this special Sunday program because so much is going on, and I'm very busy, as you know, doing my work, and I know that you're busy. But I wanted to do a special show today to recap the activities of the last couple weeks, discuss some of these issues, and to get some of your input on some of these issues. I think that the initiative that I took in Damascus and in Syria, in fact, in the Muslim world, is a very vital initiative. I think it's a very important step forward in bringing our message to the world and in dethroning and disempowering the Jewish supremacists that have so much power in media, government, and in the processes going on, in fact, to foreign policy and economics and in media. I think these are some of the most essential aspects, I think, of the fight, and I think it's so important for our people to understand the fight. Now, let me, from the outset, say that there are many different ways to approach this problem. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that I think are good for the movement, things that I think are bad for the movement. I'm going to tell you ways that I think we can make this movement go forward and ways that will retard the development of our organizations and of our movement to truly save our people. And that's what it's all about. Our European heritage is being destroyed, literally wiped off the face of the earth. We are being ethnically cleansed in our own countries. We are being brainwashed daily by the mass media to literally hate ourselves. Our children are being taught to hate themselves, hate their ancestry, hate the values they grew up in. They are ripping away our traditions. As you know, even Christmas holidays now are winter holidays, our winter break or whatever. I mean, it's every aspect of our culture is under attack, as I have point out in one of my website articles, I quote extensively from a Jewish writer, and he's actually from Great Britain, and he writes a scholarly article showing how that the pornography racket has moved from a fringe phenomena to a mainstream phenomena in America and the Western world, and how Jews are responsible for this, and how he's basically proud of that fact. And he also quotes many Jews who are saying this is this is basically shooting the bird at white culture, white heritage, you know, Christian values, and all the rest of it. This is what we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. We are literally being obliterated. It's a genocide of our people, and of course, it's affecting other people as well. Jewish supremacism affects the Palestinians pretty greatly. It's affecting the Syrians. It's affecting, my God, has it affected the people in Iraq? Maybe 100,000 dead, maybe 125,000 people dead. We have no idea. Tens of thousands of women and children are dead because of this war. Has it done any good for America? Has this been an American imperialist war? Have we got one more drop of oil from this war? No. In fact, we've got a lot less. And the prices of oil have gone up because of it. And we spent $300 billion already in this war. And the underlying cost of this war, even if we got out of Iraq tomorrow, would probably be $1.3 trillion because of the ongoing medical care for the over 20,000 Americans who've been crippled, maimed, emasculated, disfigured, blinded, burned in Iraq. And they're going to need a lot of help over the years, and the costs are going to be enormous in so many ways. We've helped our terrorist enemies who want to hurt Americans. Let me tell you something. I'm one American, obviously, who detests what happened on 9/11, this massacre. And they were mostly European Americans. In fact, I'm one of these people who do believe that there were early warnings, at least to some of the Israeli citizens of the World Trade Center. I believe that because the Jerusalem Post, one of the most respected newspapers in Israel, stated that 4,000 Jews were missing in and around the World Trade Center. Of course, that number may have been inflated, but it turned out there was not a single any sort of a mathematical possibility, ladies and gentlemen, unless there was a percentage of them warned. And we know for a fact, Odigo received, which is a Jewish firm in the World Trade Center, received warning message before it happened. That's not what I say. That was in the Washington Post News Service, and it's been reported by many other different sources. I think that there was foreknowledge of this terrible event by Israel, and I think beyond that, whether or not there was foreknowledge of this event, I believe the reason why that we're in this disastrous conflict and this terroristic problem, which has also cost us so many countless tens of billions of dollars back home, that's not even counting the direct costs of the war, but the so-called war on terrorism, is because we've got involved in this conflict, which is really not our conflict. Now, we don't give a damn. In fact, even the first Gulf War, what difference is it whether it's Iraq and Kuwait or whether it's the Kuwaiti sultans in Kuwait? It's not really an issue for us. It's not worth one good American boy, and it's certainly not worth making the whole world hate us and developing a whole generation, tens of thousands of suicide bombers who will even kill themselves, sacrifice their own lives. That's motivation to hurt us. I don't want to see American guts strewn out all over the streets of this country or other places around the world. I want to see America to be safe. I want to see Americans respected. I want to see Americans able to go places in the world without fear. And by the way, they might be able to protect Americans for a while at home. You know, I don't know how they're going to do that if they don't shore up the Mexican border, but they might be able to protect Americans at home for a while. But how do you protect the 5 to 10 million Americans that go overseas routinely? Business, work, education, travel, tourism, whatever. You can't. Americans, you know, congregate. You can't affect how the other security services around the world work. And if people want to kill Americans, they're going to be able to. This entire war was a war for Israel from the very beginning. You know, we have to start confronting these issues. And when we talk about the mass immigration that's changing America, it is something that has been driven from the beginning. Read Andrew McDonald. Read my books, Jewish Supremacism. We have massive immigration right now in the United States of America and in European countries because of a number of factors. First, the Jewish-dominated Hollywood media has presented multiculturalism as an ideal. They have worked to tell us that by letting in immigrants that we would become enriched, culturally enriched. Well, France just had a lot of that enrichment, didn't they? And we've had that enrichment too, haven't we? Have you taken a look at the crime figures in the United States of America and the tremendous percentages? Have you taken a look at how many people who are not American citizens are in the prisons of the United States of America because of committing crimes against the American people? Have you taken a look at the cost in American jobs, the cost in American tax money for the medical care, education costs, and all of that for the people here? But this has taken place because of the massive propaganda. This has not been an accident. It's not just been a few little old, you know, white liberals who said, oh, we got to do this. European nations and America were moving toward a racial consciousness, a consciousness of our heritage, and a need to preserve our heritage. In the 1920s, for instance, in the United States and in all European countries, there was legislation passed that was what's called restrictionist legislation, meant to preserve the heritage of those countries. They allowed people to come in for students, things of that nature, but they were very strict on who could come in and live in the United States of America, who could come into Canada, who could come into England and Europe. Physical anthropology during that period was based on the idea of studying ethnic and racial differences. That's what physical anthropology was, until systematically Jewish supremacists came in and took control over these sciences. And they moved in a tribal fashion. They would get a couple of their people into a faculty, say, on a physical anthropology faculty or historical faculty on a campus, and then they would work together to get more of their people on, and to get people on, maybe a couple of Gentiles who would go along with their programs and procedures, and they completely displaced our people, which created and maintained physical anthropology and that study. Sociology, of course, became essentially a Jewish field of study. Freudianism was a Jewish field of study. Boaz, who was the leading anthropologist who promoted this whole theory, as you know, was a Jewish immigrant from Germany, and most of his students, they had a few Gentiles, yes, and one black, and a couple of women, including Margaret Mead, but overwhelmingly, Gene Wilfish, Melville Hershkovich, Theodosius Dobansky, and Boas basically spread this egalitarian theory. We can go further. We can talk about Mr. Gould, who's is gone now, God rest his soul, and we can talk about Jared Diamond. We can talk about, Kamen, we can talk about Rose, who still today lead this effort. Yes, there are Gentiles that go along with it. But yeah, Gentiles learn pretty well that if you don't sing this egalitarian song, which these Jewish supremacists, and let me tell you something, these egalitarians are supremacists. Perfect example is Jared Diamond. Here's a man who spends his academic life telling us that there's no such thing as race. Race is not important. And then he writes an article for Anthropology Today talking about how DNA is really affording some great opportunities for Israel because now they can actually tell who's a Jew and who's not. That's right. But isn't it great that we can now identify who are really Jews? You have a whole body of anthropologists today who are celebrating Jewish heritage and Jewish genetic distinctivity. How is it? How is it there is a distinct Jewish people, but there's not a distinct, European race and heritage, or a distinct black race and heritage, or Asian race and heritage? I mean, obviously, and by the way, I'm saying all these things not because I think that different races should be oppressed and hurt and harmed. I think every race has differences, and I think they have to have a right to preserve their own heritage, their way of life, and create societies that reflect their own values, their own principles. And I think that includes us. I am not for supremacy. I'm not for suppression of people, but I'm for every people being able to maintain their own society. But again, these were the driving force. These are the driving force. Hollywood continues to put out this propaganda every day. The school textbooks that your kids read in school, where do you think they come from? The ADL monitors media. Even if they don't directly produce something themselves, the ADL and many other Jewish organizations monitor media. They monitor books. They monitor magazine articles. And if anybody dares to make a conflicting statement, then what they want people to hear, they go in there and they try to suppress them, hurt them, harm them, destroy their political careers. Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith? They should be called Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Because they are about definition. They're about defaming anybody that exposes Jewish supremacism and the extremism that exists among Jewish supremacism. And this media control they have goes on every day. Now, there are different ways to fight the problem. The ways that I know that are not going to work in fighting the problem are, first, violence. Especially since 9/11, there are so many agents running around now and infiltrators, and as well as these Jewish organizations have tremendous power and a tremendous amount of infiltration. If you want to go and do something violent, you're not only going to be doing, in my opinion, an immoral act if you hurt innocent people, but you are also going to hurt the cause dramatically. You will end up going to jail. You'll drain the resources of our people trying to get you out of jail. You will be harming the cause that you believe you're fighting for or you're acting for in every way. That's what you'll be doing. That's what you are doing when you do that. Plus, the media takes those events and says, you see, these people, these racialists, these white racists or whatever, see how evil they are. Look what they're doing. Look at the violence. Look at this innocent person was killed. They show this child in the daycare center who was hurt or in some terrible event that took place, and they say, you see, you fulfill their own stereotypes. And I think maybe that's what they want you to do. They love it. That's how they got through the so-called civil rights movement during the 1960s. I've talked about that so many times. I talked about what Dr. Field said about Birmingham, Alabama after the church bombing there. How much worse propaganda can you get than to set off a bomb in a church and kill some little girls? The movement, first of all, that's not the way. Violence is not going to do it today. But we have the means today to create a whole new consensus on a whole number of different ideas. Now, I agree there are different approaches. One approach, which is an excellent approach, which I don't oppose in any way, in fact, I support in many ways, is the Jared Taylor approach. the American Renaissance approach. It's a great approach. They simply approach the racial issue. They don't get involved except peripherally. And Jared Taylor does stick his neck out occasionally by talking about some of the hate laws and all the rest, even the Holocaust laws he's mentioned before. But he talks primarily about the race issue. He avoids the Jewish question. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's his way. And those of you that want to go that way, that's fine. I mean, we need a million different approaches to flower and to work in this cause. But what he does is he presents our opinions in a reasonable way, an honorable way, in an intelligent way. He's still very emotional at some point. That's fine. We need to be passionate. But he doesn't express any hatred. He doesn't express any attitude toward wiping out or suppressing any other people. And I think that's what we have to have in terms of that approach, in terms of the race issue. We have to be consistent. We've got to seem just in people's eyes. And you know what? We are just. We really are just. We're not the image that the Jewish people try to portray of us. I don't even believe the Germans in the Second World War were the image that they try to portray of them. I don't believe it at all. We have got to understand that we want to preserve our heritage. Every people has that right to preserve their heritage. And when we approach it in that way, and we state it that way, nobody can really find fault with us who is of fair mind. And there's a lot of people who aren't of fair mind, who are very brainwashed and very hateful toward us, and no matter what you say, you can't reach them. But still, you know, the truth well went out. So that's a good approach. That's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. All right? I'm of the opinion, and by the way, I think in politics, that's a very strong and very powerful approach to take in the United States of America and many other countries. You know, in a campaign, just because you talk about problems with Jewish supremacism doesn't mean that you have to dwell on that 90% of the time during a political campaign for office. You know, that's not going to be the primary, you know, motivation of a voter. If you even look in the 1930s in Germany, or you look in other countries around the world, I mean, you got to look at the situation. People, that's not going to be the main issue. The war in Iraq may be a powerful issue at one point or another, and that may come into the equation. But the main issue is what's going to happen to their kids in school, what's going to happen to them in terms of their jobs, if they're going to face discrimination in the so-called affirmative action, what's going to happen to their tax money and welfare, what's going to happen in terms of the massive immigration, in terms of their way of life, their culture, their heritage, their economy, their values. Those are the winning campaign issues. But at the same time, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's absolutely essential for our cause, absolutely essential, that we talk about the people. And it's not so much the people, the Jewish supremacists, the Jewish extremists. It's not even all Jews, but it's certainly the leadership of the Jewish community. The Council of Jewish Presidents, for instance, which brings together all the major Jewish organizations in the United States. They have a policy on practically every major issue, and they stand unified on it. And by the way, they are on the wrong side of every issue as far as the European-American majority of this country is concerned. And I tell you, if we don't weaken the power of Jewish supremacists over our media, over our government, we are not going to win. We are going to continue to suffer and be destroyed. And they have been destroying us. They are destroying. They're wiping us out. So my position is, I got to be one of those people, and maybe those people listening to me now, the people who support my point of view, support my books, my awakening, and Jewish supremacists, understand that we need a core, fundamental, ideological opposition to Jewish extremism, an expose of Jewish extremism. And this has got to take place not only among our people, but among the whole world. And the world is ripe for this. We think we grow up and we live in this Jewish-dominated media society in the United States of America and Europe. And we don't quite realize that a great percentage of the world, in fact, probably 8/10 of the world, 9/10 of the world, is the media. In 9/10 of the world, the media is not controlled by the Zionists, by the Jewish extremists. So what do we have to do? Jewish extremism, Zionism. This is the major driving force of so-called globalism. Globalism is basically an instrument of the Jewish supremacists to dominate and control the world. They are doing this. That sounds, I know, wild and kind of crazy to a lot of people listening, but listen on and study on, and maybe you'll see what I'm talking about, because the evidence is overwhelming on this course. They are literally trying to dominate the world. And in these other countries, they don't control the media. The facts of Jewish supremacism are practically self-evident. My book lays it out, I think, better than any other book in the world, and I hope that all of you listeners agree with that by now, and most of you probably have read my book, and that's great, because I think that my book offers, you know, a way of really awakening not just our people, but it's people all over the world, literally. It is going out now almost like fission. I mean, it's just going out dramatically. There are already pirate editions of my book in the Arab world. There are going to be official versions of my book very soon in the Arabic world. It's going to be in Pakistan. It's going to be in Iran. It's going to be all across Africa, from Morocco all the way to Saudi Arabia and into Iraq. It's going to be in India. It's going to be in Malaysia. It's going to be in Indonesia. And I think it's going to go far beyond that. I think it will be in China. It will be in Japan. It's already in Russia to the tune of 650,000 copies from what the Jewish leaders say. I don't know. I don't get any royalties from any of that, but that's okay. The word's getting out. It's in Eastern Europe. It's published by Mon University in Kyiv, Ukraine. It's out there and it's growing. It's building a full head of steam. Imagine for a moment if before the United Nations, if most of the ambassadors and leaders of countries got up in front of the United Nations General Assembly and said, we've got to do something about this Jewish supremacist, you know, white slave trade. We got to do something about this Jewish supremacist network of organized crime, such as the oligarchs in Russia. Let's have the United Nations investigation of that. We've got to do something about, you know, the use of the Holocaust. The use of the Holocaust to stop criticism and to stifle criticism of Jewish supremacism and Jewish criminal behavior. We've got to have a discussion of the world organized crime apparatus, which is now the worst organized crime apparatus in the world, as you probably know, is called the Russian media. Again, one more case of the Jewish media just controlling how we even respond to the world, how we even deal with reality. That's why I say this has got to be broken. We have got to reach people and make them understand. But you see what we can do. Now, we are expanding. And I spend 99% of my time in Europe and America among my own folk and my own brethren. I think it's worth spending 1% of my time, at least, just doing the basic work in terms of getting my book out and helping to educate the rest of the world about the true nature of Jewish supremacism, because all they see, for instance, the Palestinians and the people in the Middle East, they see Israel kind of like a colonialist thing, and I think that's a very inaccurate. There's nothing like Jewish supremacism ever in the history of the world. This is like super racial supremacism. I mean, it, as I said in Syria, and it sounded funny, on Syrian national television, I guess to some people listening, you know, the Jewish supremacists make the Nazis look very mild in comparison. This is a program, a policy, a ideology, a religion that promotes racial purity, genetic purity among their leadership. That's not an exaggeration. The Kohanim, which is their priest class in Judaism, the Kohanim, in Israel, the state of Israel has it, so the Kohanim Jew cannot even marry another Jew who is a full-fledged religious Jew who has one drop of Gentile blood, one drop of discernible Gentile blood. Then the marriage is not even legal. That's a fact. That's a much stronger position than the SS had in Germany, where they required that the average SS man prove their purity 6 generations back. And in Germany, they accepted Germans into the German nation with one quarter Jewish blood and sometimes with one half Jewish blood. That's a fact. With one quarter, they could be accepted as a German. You know, the Kohanim won't accept that. That's their priest class. Remember how the Mormons had to change their whole aspect of their priest class because they didn't allow certain non-whites into the priest class, and there was so much pressure on the Mormons, again, by the same Jewish-dominated media to do this. And yet we have a government now that supports, with your tax money, a religious state. They don't support your local church with your own tax money, but they support a religious state in Israel, which is, again, based on racial purity, Which, you know, again, the Jews have every right to want to preserve their heritage. They have every right to preserve their people if they want to do that. That's fine. But not at the cost of my people, not at the cost of the Palestinians, not at the cost of other people's freedom and liberty. And that's exactly what's going on here. So the double standards are incredible. And I believe that we will never succeed in a victory unless we understand that. Now, all of our people don't have to get up and say the truth about Jewish extremism. You know, I really truly believe that. Everyone doesn't have to do it. Jared Taylor doesn't have to do it. A lot of people who are listening to Stormfront are writing on Stormfront every day. They say, you know, don't talk about the Jews so much. You're obsessed by the Jews. Well, I'm not obsessed. Obsessed isn't enough. I'm compulsively talking about it. I recognize the enemy. And that's not every Jew, but the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists who dominate media, who dominate academia, who dominate the economy of the world. We got a Jewish supremacist, extraordinaire, Paul Wolfowitz, head of the World Bank today. We've got a Jewish supremacist head of the Federal Reserve and a new one coming in who's head of the Federal Reserve. You know, it's just like that's a Jewish seat. We got two Jewish supremacists sitting on our Supreme Court, which is constitutes a block. Then they just have to turn a couple Gentiles, they can get back practically anything they want. We have Jewish supremacists having the most powerful lobby in the United States Congress, AIPAC, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And we have leaders of that group right now being charged with espionage against the United States of America. We have Jewish supremacists controlling Congress to the point that we can't even have an investigation of the USS Liberty, where Israel attacked, literally murdered 34 Americans, grievously wounded over 173 Americans on USS Liberty in a dastardly surprise attack. And the evidence is overwhelming. You can talk and you can listen to the words of Dean Rusk, who was Secretary of State at the time, Admiral Thomas Moore, who was Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, and they will tell you this was a purposeful attack against the United States of America. Israel, the nation we send billions of dollars to every year, Israel, just 3 months ago, had an award ceremony where they gave medals and called heroes Jewish terrorists who terroristically attacked American facilities in Egypt. But with their press control, that people didn't even know about it. I'm going to give an example of that press control right now for a minute. And by the way, if you want to make a comment, again, you can go to davidduke.com. You can go to send an email, info44@davidduke.com. That's info44@davidduke.com. And you can post, obviously, on stormfront.org. And I know a lot of listeners, probably 10 times the listeners who are registered members of Stormfront, you know, are just guests, and they can't post. So in that case, you can go to info44@davidduke.com or post on Stormfront. I'm going to try to get to some of your ideas and issues and comments and questions as we go along today. But first, I want to share a couple things very quickly with you. One, this is since my last show, so I do want to go over this. As you probably know, at first, in my trip to Damascus and the Arab world, the Jewish media here ignored it, but it was widespread, huge coverage on it in terms of the Middle Eastern media, Indian media, Asian media, but it was very little coverage in the United States of America. And I tell you, I think the Jewish supremacists, they just couldn't, you know, they wanted to suppress it because they're afraid of what I'm doing, and they knew that if they would have talked about it, again, because of the impact of Western media, it would have gone even further in the Third World and in the Muslim world, and they know that more people would say, boy, if they're condemning David Duke, then he must be doing something good. And I noticed, well, finally they couldn't stand it. You know, they get to a point of first they try to suppress you, and then they find out they can't suppress you, so then they have to try to tailor the story. Now, to try to weaken my ability to reach the Third World, they have to emphasize that I'm Ku Klux, I was former Ku Klux Klan leader, et cetera, et cetera, and do anything they can, call me a white supremacist, again, trying to undermine me. It's the old divide and conquer. Let me tell you something. That didn't go 2 inches in those countries where I visited. It didn't go 2 inches in the media. In fact, in 30 major international media that I addressed there in Syria, that wasn't brought up one time, my background. They were interested in what I was saying. They were interested in the fact that I'm a former elected official in the United States of America talking about the common enemy that Israel is to us. Now, CNN finally launched their attack. This super Zionist wolf blitzer blasted the heck out of me. In fact, I have a picture on my website taking the screen capture right off the CNN television news broadcasting. It shows a picture of me, and it says, "Around the world, CNN former Ku Klux Klansman David Duke blasts U.S. in Syria." Boy, they're trying to do everything, you see. They're trying to alienate me from the third world because the third world watched CNN, and they're also trying to alienate me from people in this country who are not quite have a strong opinion as I do, and they're trying to make me out to be anti-American, blast U.S. in Syria. Now, that's a clear display of the Zionist media bias. You know, former representative David Duke is my proper and appropriate title, or even representative, because once you're a judge or a congressman or a representative or a president, you are always president. You're always senator. So representative is actually a proper title. And Robert Byrd, Senator Robert Byrd, is not captioned as former Klansman Robert Byrd. George Bush is not captioned as former Cokehead George Bush. And as far as Blast the U.S. is concerned, nothing could be further from the truth. In actual fact, I defended the American people in Syria, and I gave Syrians a good image of Americans, and I blasted Israel as the true terrorist nation who made terrorist attacks against America. I pointed out that Syria has never made a terrorist attack against our country, the Syrian government, but that Israel has. I don't want to talk about that. Imagine that the caption maybe should say, you know, Representative David Duke blast Israeli terrorism against America in Syria. Something like that. You know, Blitzer and CNN and the whole Jewish supremacists who control that network, they're really reaching, aren't they? Jewish supremacists, of course, are the real supremacists. I denounce, and I will tell this to my friends or anybody else, I denounce racial, ethnic, or religious supremacism. I believe in the right of all people and all nations to run their own affairs and preserve their own heritage. Such belief is the opposite of racial supremacism. It's the Zionists who are trying to control the policies of other nations. As usual, they accuse everyone else of what they themselves are doing. For new visitors to this program, or davidduke.com, please read my book, Jewish Supremacism. I have a mountain of quotes from mainstream Jewish sources that prove that they are the world's ultimate supremacists. Now, Wolf Blitzer on the program. First thing out, he says he calls me a white supremacist and a wannabe politician. As for the statement that I'm a wannabe politician, that's obviously a cheap shot. I wouldn't say that someone who's been elected to two different public offices and who received a majority of the European-American vote, in fact, a landslide of the European-American vote in major campaigns for the United States Senate and for governor, as well as higher vote totals in presidential primaries than did many sitting senators contesting those primaries, I'd say that's kind of strange to say that person's a wannabe politician. Maybe they're, you know, of course, I think they're incorrect, you know, for another reason in calling me a wannabe politician. I'd like to think that I'm far more of a statesman in the tradition of the American Republic, as I've never sacrificed my honor for political gain, as most politicians who sell out everything to get elected. I didn't take the easy road in my life. My affiliations show that. I stood up for what I believed to be the truth, whether it was popular or not. I could have said what is popular and perhaps become a Bill Clinton. Maybe it would have been me riding on Air Force One around the world. But I chose instead to tell the whole truth and be David Duke, not Bill Clinton. A politician is perceived as someone who simply wants to be elected. I'm someone who has a cause, and my political activity is in defense and support of that cause. When I went to Syria, I traveled on an old Aeroflot airplane, my expense, and it's a very special, I got one of those special deals, you know, $225 I flew from Eastern Europe to Syria. It looked like a big glorified bus. I was hoping it was going to get there. It did finally get there. It was cold, it was drafty, there was a leak, it seemed like a big air leak from the emergency exit where I was at the back of this plane with my knees stuffed up to my chest. I'm a big guy. You know, I didn't go on Air Force One. Now, CNN labels me a, quote, former Klansman, but somehow they don't label George Bush as former Cokehead George Bush or Teddy Kennedy as the hero of Chappaquiddick or Robert Byrd as former Klansman. And they don't label any of the former members of the Black Panthers in the Black Caucus as former Black Panther XX. For instance, Jesse Jackson's son. Though all that's inevitably true. They don't call Errol Sharon the Butcher of Beirut, or war criminal Errol Sharon, or Nelson Mandela, former terrorist. They make sure, also, to never give my proper title of Dr. David Duke, as they almost always give the doctor title in discussing Dr. Martin Luther King. Yet by any standard, my doctoral degree is at least as legitimate as his. In fact, the university where he received his degree did an investigation into his doctoral thesis and found he plagiarized at least 40% of it. That's a pretty high percentage. He didn't revoke his degree, but my doctoral degree is at least as legitimate as his is. Look, when they don't like it, they pull out all the stops. And notice at the end of this broadcast, and you can get this broadcast on my site, they put another dig, criticizing the media and the Mideast in the Mideast for not calling me a former Klansman, for not saying the way I do it, a white supremacist or tax offender. Now, could you imagine them ending a news piece on Bush, saying, the media in Britain didn't mention the fact that Bush was once an habitual user of cocaine. Or maybe the media there didn't point out that Bush, who lied American soldiers into war, himself avoided Vietnam with a cushy job back home. Or the media in France didn't mention that George Bush has authorized mass torture of suspects and stripping away fundamental American rights with the Patriot Act. Get the picture? Such is the power of our Jewish-dominated media. But now, through my response, you can see how they manipulate the American people. In addition, they even try to bias their watchers in the caption of the report. Former Klansman blasts United States? In fact, I never blasted the United States. I repeatedly stated in every public appearance that I was an American patriot, even an American partisan, that the American people don't want war and want friendship with all countries, and that it's only the Zionists and their servants who want war, and therefore must, with their lies, such as the lies of the weapons of mass destruction, manipulate the American people to war. I said this repeatedly before my audiences. The one proof that the American people want peace, truly, is the fact they had to lie to us and say the American people were facing a danger from Saddam Hussein, when actually, of course, there wasn't a danger. I pointed out that the only Mideast nation that's made terroristic attacks against America has been Israel. Israel made terroristic firebomb attacks against American installations in Egypt in the Levant affair and the surprise murderous attack on Liberty. Recently, Israel, as I said earlier, has recently awarded the so-called heroes of the Jewish terrorist attack on American facilities in Egypt. I pointed out there are no agents of Mideast governments convicted of major spying against the United States and doing great damage to the United States, while Israel lauds the spy who so harmed America, Jonathan Pollard. I pointed out that the current espionage cases involving AIPAC, the American Public Affairs Committee, is truly a great damage to the American people. I pointed out that terrible harm done to America and the Mideast in the Iraq War, a war orchestrated by the neocons on the behalf of Israel. In reporting my trip to Syria, it was generally accepted by everyone who heard me speak that this trip helped lessen anti-American feelings in the Mideast by showing that the American people, as compared to the Zionist-controlled politicians, want friendship and peace with the world. I'm not going to quote all the different quotes that the Syrian Press Association compiled and from the major people. But, you know, I'll give you one quote, which I think is pretty interesting, from Nadal Kabbalan, who I interviewed there, one of the biggest, most important world journalists in the world, and probably the biggest journalist in the Middle East, and one of the most famous. And he said, quote, "Israel's always wanted to deflect anger from themselves to America and others. Dr. Duke's present focuses attention on the true danger to both European Americans and Arabs, that danger of Jewish extremism. David Duke's message here makes all Americans, wherever they are, sleep safer and easier. His exemplary courage in speaking out against Zionism has done more for the American image in the Arab world than as any other American I can name, and his book, Jewish Supremacism, is by far the best book on the subject from either an Arab or Occidental source." If American foreign policy wasn't run by Israeli partisans, they would appoint him as America's ambassador at large to heal the anti-American sentiment growing around the world. And my friends, of course, the Jewish supremacists don't want the anger of the people of the Mideast directed away from America to where it rightfully belongs, the Jewish supremacist state of Israel. And their partisans in America, who have so much influence on the American and European media and government. You see, the Zionists at CNN, such as Wolf Blitzer, would much rather see Americans suffer from violent attacks than see Israel suffer from them. In fact, they routinely cover up the mischief and damage Israel's done to America. For instance, they always say, oh, we should be so thankful for Israel, she's our only friend in the Middle East. Of course, the damning truth is that before America became manipulated to support the criminal state of Israel, America did not have even one single enemy in the whole Mideast. We've only have enemies, massive numbers of enemies, and millions of people wanting to hurt us because of Israel. And what kind of friend of America commits terrorist acts against us, spies on us, and leads us into bloody, expensive wars not in our true interests? So, the Wolf Blitzer CNN report by a pro-Israel extremist has inadvertently revealed the biased reporting that I speak about every day. I did not blast the United States. I love my country, unlike the Jewish supremacists who will harm my country for the sake of Israel. I did not blast the United States. I blasted the traitors who send Americans to die or be maimed for Jewish neocon lies rather than the true interests and security of the United States of America. I did not blast the United States. I spoke the truth that it is not just the Golan Heights or Palestine that's occupied by the Zionist extremists. They also occupy far too much of the American media and far too much of the American government. That's my response. I also have another article there which I think you'll find very interesting. And I would suggest you read it on davidduke.com as soon as the program's over, talking about an article on the it's called The American Thinker, I believe it is, and it's a Jewish defense of the charge that some Jews have dual loyalty, and it's not really a dual loyalty; it's really an Israel first loyalty in every respect. And I counter that, and I have the great quote in there by Stephen Steinlight, a quote that practically all the listeners to the Stormfront Town Hall should memorize by heart. Absolutely memorize, because this one quote can do more to educate people about, you know, Jewish supremacism, how they view us and how they try to control us, than any other quote that I could possibly mention. You know what that quote is. Go to davidduke.com, and obviously you can see it for yourself. I also noticed on stormfront.org in the town hall section, there's a fine letter posted, which is from Ernst Sindel, my good friend Ernst Sindel from prison in Germany, to Paul Fromm, another good friend of mine. And this is a kind and a fantastic, a wonderful person, which is just it's an incredible act of cruelty and incredible act of suppression that this man would be in prison, you know, for daring to simply daring to stand up for what he sees to be as the truth and doing it in a nonviolent way. This is from Spartan. He says, I just want to let you know the email article feature on your website's not working. Is this a problem with your site or my computer? I don't know. I think it's your computer, but we'll have to find out, you know, more on that. David Fellow says, you know, we're broadcasting live right now, and we certainly are. And I've got a whole bunch of emails. Let me go to my email situation here and deal with that. I appreciate your response today. We've got such a very good response. Again, I always go over time, but that's life, isn't it? You know, I get carried away. This is a great opportunity. The fact that we can speak live, I can speak live to you from Eastern Europe as a technology that we wouldn't have dreamed of just 2 years ago. So, Oh, here's a good example. This is from a person, it's an anti, from Azali Honig, talking about Hanukkah and Christmas double standard. He says, "Hello, Mr. Duke, do you not realize there's a 50-foot Christmas tree in front of the White House and it's all decorated festive green and red for Christmas?" No, I was talking about the Christian cross. You know, I was talking about the fact that the Bush was lighting a menorah in the White House. He certainly wasn't having a ceremony with a cross. In fact, the cross basically is banned from the White House. And this person goes on to say, when's the last time you saw a 50-foot tall menorah in front of the White House? Again, that's entirely different. Never. There is a principal separation of church and state. You know, the menorah is not the symbol of Jews like the cross is for Christians, so stop making such a big deal out of it. Well, you know, what is it? The menorah is the most common symbol of the Jewish faith. You know, in fact, it was the primary symbol for the last 2,000 years. The Star of David has been adopted. Actually, it wasn't even an original Jewish symbol. It was originally a Syrian symbol years ago. Again, they copied that like they do so many other things. And, you know, again, you know, this is a typical person making the attacks, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you're always going to have that kind of person. And I'm glad they write because it's a good exposure of what they say. This is one. This is from Jim. He says, "Just a note of feedback. I've taken a check on your website regularly. Thanks for all your work. The fact that Blitzer's taking a shot at you is a mixed blessing, of course. It shows that you're irritating some of the folks in the new Politburo, which means that you must be doing something right, for these folks are dangerous. They kill you as soon as look at you, and our government would only help them cover it up. It's quite a shock to a lot of us that's come to this in our own country, that our own government in many ways operates like a large international organized crime syndicate. The only way to break this Jewish hold in American media is to be challenged in the grounds of restraining competition and the First Amendment grounds. This won't happen in the near term, but we need to start preparing to push to decentralize the media." That's true. This is certainly something we can do, but these things, of course, will only happen when we become the government. You're not going to get any luck in the courts until we become the government, and we must continue to do so. Got a couple letters from Germany here saying, "Man, you're doing a great job." And this individual says, "While it may seem to be a small matter, we in Northern California think it's serious. Reference to the use of Gentile and the phrase Jews and Gentiles. We strongly oppose the word Gentile to describe all non-Jews, even through even just all the wonderfully diverse European Americans for these reasons." Well, when I refer to myself, generally, I refer to myself as a European or European American, person of European descent. But it's certainly practical to talk about people when you're talking about the Jewish issue to say Jews and Gentiles or Jews and non-Jews. I use it interchangeably, and I think it has a, you know, very clear meaning to people and an understandable meaning. So, you know, I will continue to do that. And I think that it's very effective, especially when you see the Jews use the term Gentile in a very pejorative sense. Again, if I use the term Jew in a pejorative sense, I'm in big trouble being called an anti-Semite. But if I'm if I'm a Jew, I can use the term Gentile in a pejorative sense, and there's not going to be any problem whatsoever. Nobody's going to call me into account. Yeah, I checked on Wikipedia, one of the, you know, common online encyclopedias, by the way, it's a very good article about how one of the editors of the Tennessean was completely distorted and was completely lied about in the Wikipedia article. And it's easy for those things to be controlled, but I noticed that somebody defined Jewish supremacism there, and then it was taken off. Well, of course it was taken off, because we're only allowed to say white supremacist. We're not allowed to talk about Jewish supremacism, even though Jewish supremacism is a real factor. Whites, quote, even those people who are white supremacists, and there are certainly some of those among us, no question about it. I'm not one, per se, but there are certainly some people like that out there. In fact, we just want to wipe everybody else out. That's true among any people. But the Jewish supremacists who literally view Gentiles as a less than human phenomenon, they are a significant percentage with a lot of power in Israel. I can give you all sorts of Jewish supremacist statements by leaders in Israel. You know, leaders probably, in fact, people calling the Palestinian people lice, for instance, and saying they should be exterminated. There's an interesting quote by Amos Oz of of Ariel Sharon, the leader of Israel, where he talks about the fact that Israel should have just exterminated all the Palestinians, exterminated them. Literally, this is what he says. He said, yeah, we've been criticized, but now we'd be 25 million strong in Israel. You know, again, there's a double standard, and we're just not getting the truth and the facts, you know, on these issues. Okay. This is an interesting, this is a very interesting quote. She says, this is a mom of three. She says, Doreen, she says, my first time listening to the program is much too short. I really enjoyed your honest and heartfelt broadcast. Wish you could be on from noon to three every day. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, you know, I was doing, you know, an hour or two every day. I just can't do it. I'm trying to do it a half an hour. Today we're doing a special broadcast, and it's a little longer than usual. And we will, you know, occasionally I'll do that. And sometimes I go for an hour and a half with a good interview. There's a great interview of Jürgen Graf, which is over an hour. And I will continue to do a lot of those kinds of interviews. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. And I definitely, again, appreciate the support. And let me make a suggestion to you, and I hope that some of you will think about this. I do a lot of my work on a shoestring budget. I'll tell you the truth. I went to Syria, and I wasn't, you know, nobody paid my way. I went to Syria on a special airfare deal for $225. I sat in the back of an Aeroflot airplane, an old SU, I don't remember the name of it anymore, you know, made noise all the way. It was cold. My feet were up in my chest practically. It was a long flight, and it was a red-eye flight in the middle of the night, which kills me. I'm just too old. I don't sleep at night anymore. If I don't go to bed at a decent time, I'm in trouble. I went to Syria on a shoestring. I do these things all the time on that, but I do so much. It still takes money to pay for the operation. I've got to pay for hotels here and there. I've got to pay for my room at my university. The salary at the university that I speak at and lecture at is not, you know, it's Eastern European wages, which is unbelievably low. But again, I know that I'm doing good work, and this publication takes money. This website bandwidth, we have a huge bandwidth. We send out literally, you know, incredible numbers of gigabytes of data every month. Huge gigabytes of data. We've got to pay for that. We've got to pay for the David Duke Report. You know, we've got to pay for making sure these books are published, and it costs around $70,000 every time I get an edition of my book published. $70,000. And it, invariably, I don't get the money, the profits from these books. They end up going into the overall cause. If I just took my book profits, I could live very comfortably, ladies and gentlemen. I could just have no publication, do no activism, just sell my books, wholesale them to the different groups, sell my books to the internet, and my life would be a lot less aggravated. But obviously, I'm involved in this cause. I need your support. It's almost Christmas. Every time during the Christmas season, our contributions dwindle because people are concerned about buying the presents for their family and friends. Their minds are not on this life and death struggle for our heritage, for our traditions, you know, for our race. And so I hope that all of you listening will do something to help us during this period. And this combined with the fact that we lost so many possible contributions and support during the Hurricane Katrina blackout of our, you know, internet, of at least our office internet, of the publications, of even the mail in Mandeville. And we're still trying to catch up from that. So we need your support. Now, I'll tell you, one way you can do that is make a contribution on my website, davidduke.com. Another thing you can do is, you all want presents. Why not buy your loved ones and your friends a meaningful present, not just another tie or a shirt or a set of golf balls. Why don't you get them a copy of Jewish Supremacism or My Awakening? Why don't you get them some of the videos? A lot of people don't want to read. They'll watch videos, though. And right now you can get both sets of the New Orleans Conference, entertaining, interesting, well done, 2004 and 2005, both sets. That's 8 DVDs or 8 VHS tapes for only $100. You can't get a better deal than that. That's 2 gifts for the price of 1. And, you know, and I hope a lot of you get 5 sets. You know, give a set or give 2 sets to the special people in your life. Give 1 set to other friends. You know, we've got to move these DVDs. They cost us a lot of money to produce. I know you wanted them done professionally, and I've done them professionally. They were glass mastered, which means they can play on any DVD player. So I really suggest that those of you listening, you know, take a moment out right now on my website, davidduke.com, and order a few sets of these DVDs. You need to order them soon, next few days, so you can get them before Christmas. It's going to take time. The mails are slow this time of year. And we've got to fill all the orders. So please, if you'd like to help us, you can go to also the David Duke catalog, and we've got t-shirts, other things that you might want for gifts for those who already have the DVDs or the VHS tapes. We've got a lot of material there. And I hope that every one of you, when you make an order, that you'll put a contribution in, because that helps finance, you know, the work that we're doing. Hate to ask for money, but my God, you got to. That's just the way of life. That's simply the way it is. And I'm working very hard, and our people are working very hard around the world, and I appreciate everyone who's been supportive. And we have to have your funds for us to do our work. I don't know if anybody in this cause that gets more done for the buck than I do. You saw the CNN attack. You see the tremendous amount of work on my website. Literally hundreds, thousands of commentaries that I've written on my website over the last 3 or 4 years. Look at the work in the last year, all the different articles. And wouldn't you agree that every article is so powerful? I mean, each article has a potential for opening up the door, beginning to educate a new person that comes to the site for the first time. They get something on my site which is quite distinct and quite different from what they hear on or what they read about me or what they hear on CNN. And they get to my site, they realize there is another point of view. And we're getting a tremendous amount of emails every day. I get literally hundreds from all over the world every day, and you'd be shocked at the level of some of these emails. I'm not going to reveal who they are or what they are. I'm going to give you one more email. It just came in. It's from James. And let me give you his email. It's an excellent one. And you probably know this James. It's not James Kelso. It's another James who attended our conference. He said, Dr. Duke, I read with joy and delight of your experience in Syria. In fact, I actually slept a little easier that evening, knowing that a seed has been planted within the minds of those in the Middle East, that not all Americans are going along with the Zionist planning of our occupied government. There is no doubt that you single-handedly raised the public opinion of our nation because of your speech. I have stated this fact in my radio program as well. Our people owe you a debt of gratitude for achieving something that our diplomats refused to do. Naturally, the attacks from the establishment media came, as I read in your article discussing Wolf Blitzer's program response. The hypocrisy and double standards they employ are laughable. Needless to say, what you are doing is putting America first, and God knows we need you. I'm honored to consider myself a friend of yours, and any help I can provide is only a phone call or email away. It's been an incredible honor to be a speaker at your previous 2 Euro conferences, and it's my desire to form a working relationship for many years to come. As my program gains in popularity through ratings and increased syndication, I'll continue to use my forum as a pillow for free thought and expression. Thank you so much, James. And I tell you, we are growing, and in many ways, it's hard to see it now in some ways, but around the world, we are winning. And I think the day is coming, and I think this trip is going to end up being a turning point. Won't it be fantastic when you have ambassadors and leaders of nations standing up in front of the United Nations and demanding an investigation into the Jewish supremacist white slave trade, the hundreds of thousands of European women who were basically sold into slavery, prostitution, degradation, or their role in the pornographic rackets, or you know, the role in the gulags? How about an investigation on the greatest mass murder of all time, the gulags, sponsored by the UN and sponsored by people? How about, imagine if tables were turned, and instead of the United Nations talking about Holocaust Remembrance Day, if they actually pass a resolution saying that we need an investigation into how the tragedy has been turned around as a weapon of oppression against people or something of this. You know, the potential is absolutely enormous. The Jewish control around the world is not as great as it is in the United States and Europe, and so we have an opportunity to penetrate the world, and I think that our ideas are so strong and so sensible and so logical that they can indeed do that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I've got to get some sleep. I'm way later than you are on this side of the world. But I hope you all have a good Sunday. I hope you all have a very meaningful, a very meaningful Christmas. I will be on with you again tomorrow, so please remember that and join me again at our normal time, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time. And our show, of course, is archived. This show is archived. I hope you've enjoyed it today. I've enjoyed being with you in this special program, and I will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, I just want to tell you, God bless and take care, and please use your fingers. Let your fingers do the walking and spreading our word throughout the Internet. Love y'all. Take care. Bye-bye. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.